Good morning.
Good morning.
I love ministerial robes, but they can cause a little trouble when it comes to technology. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this Lord's Day. We gather here this morning to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we gather here to celebrate, because this is a special day in the life of our church as we celebrate with our graduates. We know many of our graduates this morning have already walked across the stage. They have already celebrated the academic achievements that they have done, and we congratulate with you. And we also know that some of our graduates are still waiting to walk across the stage. So this is a special day. It is a special day to celebrate with these families. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning. Thank you for those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live. And I encourage you, if you are watching us via Facebook Live this morning, to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. And you can pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource this day for those that are sitting in our sanctuary this morning. Use that as a resource today for our worship service this morning. I'm not going to point out all the announcements that are in your bulletin this day, but a few that I did want to just identify this morning for things that are coming up this week or maybe a little bit different, that may be a little bit different than just usual things. First off, just a reminder to our ministry teams, our newsletter articles for this upcoming month, for the month of June, are due today. So if you have items that you would like to be placed in the June newsletter, please make sure you get those to Janice today or no later than tomorrow as she works on our newsletter for this upcoming month. I also want to remind our choir, who is behind me, and anybody else who may be considering singing in the choir, there will not be choir rehearsal this week. We'll pray with Gay. She will be out of town this week as she helps her son Jonathan move from West Virginia to Virginia. So be in prayer for her. Be in prayer for Jonathan. Be in prayer for both of them as they deal with each other, as they pack up a house, and as they are moving, as he moves to Virginia and in this next venture. So be in prayer for them this week. But there will not be choir rehearsal this Wednesday. Our virtual Bible study that met this past Tuesday will return to its normal time this week. We'll be meeting on Thursday at 6:30 p.m., our normal time. So join me on Thursday for our virtual Bible study. And last but not least, next Sunday morning, we have two worship services. Our 9 o'clock worship service will be outside. So if you want to come early for an outdoor worship service, it'll be upstairs in our upstairs parking lot. It'll be a wonderful time to gather in God's creation for worship at 9 a.m. We'll also have our normal inside worship service at 11 a.m. So choose which service you want to come to. Make sure you stay in between for our time of Sunday school, which will be at 9:45, and then make sure you stay at noon for a time of fellowship lunch. We'll have a wonderful spaghetti luncheon next Sunday, and we look forward to the time of gathering around the table. So if you come to that 9 o'clock worship service, I already told you, stay around for Sunday school, then start the fellowship early at around 11 o'clock, or you can also help with the lunch if you want to. But enjoy that time of fellowship around the table next Sunday at noon. I hope you'll all stay for that. We look forward to the time of fellowship next Sunday. So lots of other things going on. Make sure you look at your bulletin this morning for those other additional announcements. But we gather here to worship. We gather here to praise the name of the Lord. So let's stand and sing this morning as we praise the name of our Lord and Savior.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest musician, our singer, whatever you want to call her. She is no stranger to our church. Casey's been here numerous times. And so be in prayer for Casey as she brings a message and music for our graduates and for the congregation later on in the service. But Casey's sitting right here in the front row, Casey Johnson. All right, let's stand and let's worship together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
To my feet and I want to
You may be seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading verses 23 through 29. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Even in these words, as Jesus was preparing his disciples, he was preparing for us. He was preparing us today that the Spirit would be with us every step of the way, even in our worship service this morning. Let us go to him this day knowing that our Father in heaven, that the Son, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit resides with us in this place this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, faithful Son, guiding Spirit, you give your people visions, allowing us to believe in your words. We come to you today to keep our word, profess our love and worship, and proclaim our faith in this hour. Nurture our hearts with your teachings, and nurture our minds with your grace. We lift this prayer in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
It says in John 8, chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." And as we sing this song, Graduates, I want you to think about something. Tristan and Macon are still going to be in school. I hope that you will be a light shine for all the people around you and let them see God in you. And Rachel and Jesse and Denise, you're going out into the workforce. Well, Denise has already been working, but may you be a light in your workforce and shine for Jesus. Let's stand as we sing, "Shine, Jesus, Shine."
Shine.
may be seated.
Over the last few weeks, college graduates across our state and the nation have walked across the stages to receive their diplomas after years of dedication and their academic pursuits. In the coming weeks, high school graduates will do the same as they prepare for the next phase in their academic journey. This time of year brings tears of joy. It also brings deep sighs of relief, especially from our graduates. It also provides times of pause for reflection and also hope for the future. This is what I hope today will be for our graduates here at First Baptist Elon, as we recognize each of you for your academic achievement and pray for God's guidance for the years and years and years to come. This morning we have five of our graduates with us this morning. A few of our graduates were unable to be with us today, and when we come to their names, I will share their names with you and share what they're, where they're graduating from and what their academic pursuits are. But this morning, as I call our graduates' names, I also want to invite them to the pulpit with me to receive a gift from our congregation. And as you come, one thing I do ask is that any family members that are in the congregation, I also want you to stand in their honor, because we fully are aware that these graduates wouldn't be where they are today had it not been for your support through the years. So family members and really close friends, we encourage you to stand in honor of the graduates this morning as they come. Also, at the end, and hold the applause to the end, I think every graduation speaker has to say that, right? Please hold all applause until the very end, and nobody ever does it, so we're going to see if we can do it today. So hold all applause to the very end, and then we'll have a round of applause for all our graduates. And again, we hope today is a day that will be another day of celebration for our graduates. This morning, we want to start with our high school graduate, our lone high school graduate this year. This morning, I invite to the pulpit Tristan Roof.
So I'm graduating from Western Elementary High School. I'm planning on going to ACC next year, but I don't know like what my profession is going to be yet. Still undecided. After ACC, I'm going to move to a university, which I still don't know where yet. And yeah, I'd just like to thank all of you for showing your support, showing your love for not just me, but all the graduates here. And thank you.
I can't even follow the rules, so how about that? Now moving on to our college graduates. And Jerry, I want to make sure, is the pulpit microphone on?
I've heard it on.
Okay, just want to make sure so everybody can hear. All right, now moving on to our college graduates. Our first college graduate with us this morning is Macon Carroll.
So you might be able to tell from the bright purple, but I'm graduating from ECU, where I will be staying for another 4 years. I'm getting a PhD in biomedical sciences, pharmacology, and toxicology, which is a lot of words. But I want to thank everyone for always showing a smiling face and support for all the years that my family and I have been here. So thank you.
Our next college graduate who was unable to be with us this morning is Savannah Howard. Savannah was unable to be with us this morning, but Savannah graduated last week from Appalachian State University, where she graduated magna cum laude with a degree in graphic communications management with a minor in digital marketing. So make sure you reach out to Savannah and congratulate her on her accomplishments. Our next graduate is Rachel Leonard.
I graduated on Friday from Elon University. with a major in elementary and special education and a minor in psychology. And I just wanted to thank all of you for being so welcoming during my time at Elon, and a special thank you to the Manns for being so wonderful and taking me out to lunch every time I was here. So thank you all.
Our next two college graduates who were unable to be with us this morning are Andrew and Maddie Ann McKee. Andrew McKee graduated from North Carolina State University two weekends ago. Andrew double majored in paper science engineering and chemical engineering, and had a minor in business administration. Andrew will be starting a job with Honeywell in South Bend, Indiana. He actually left this past weekend, headed to Indiana, so be in prayer for Andrew McKee. Maddie Ann, his twin sister, also graduated from North Carolina State University with a degree in biomedical engineering and a minor in psychology. Maddie Ann will begin her master's degree in biomedical engineering for prosthetics at the University of Pittsburgh in the fall. Now, we move on to our graduate school graduates. Our first graduate school to graduate who is with us this morning is Jesse Allison.
Everyone. So I did not get a chance to walk at my graduation in December, so this is my first time wearing this. I graduated from the University of North Carolina at Pembroke with my master's in business administration with a finance concentration. I'm currently unemployed. I'm looking for work. If anyone knows anyone, I would love to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Always a good opportunity to put a plug out there, Jesse. Great job. Our next graduate school graduate is Denise Carroll.
Well, excuse me. I also graduated a few weeks ago with my daughter Macon, which was wonderful to be able to share that with her. I got my master's in education in reading and literacy education, K through 12. And I just want to thank my family, especially for, I've had to take a lot of time away trying to study on the weekends, working at the same time going to school. I just thank you for encouraging me and supporting me in the church as well. So now I'll continue to teach third grade in the fall. Thank you.
Our final grad school graduate who was unable to be with us this week but was with us last week was Tyler Watkins. Tyler graduated from UNC Charlotte with a master's in mechanical engineering. He is a mechanical design engineer at Curtis Wright in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Now, let's have a round of applause for all of our graduates. Graduates, I know you can't see exactly what I've handed you, but the gifts are very intentional that we give our graduates each year. First, the gift on the very bottom is the Bible. It serves as a foundation for your life. It serves as a foundation for your relationship with God. I encourage you to spend time in the Bible every single day. The second thing you have there is a devotional, each unique to each one of you, hopefully. I encourage you to carve out intentional time with God, and hopefully this devotional will assist you in that time. And finally, there is another book there. And you might be thinking, that's the last thing I want, is another book after I finish graduating. But you're still students. Just because you got that degree does not mean you're not continued students. And you'll hear about me preach about that in just a few minutes. Continue to be students. Continue to absorb yourself into the things you can learn, because God is providing opportunities every single day. And that's just a precursor to what the sermon is about today. I hope these books will provide that motivation to your continued learning. Your final gift, however, this morning has nothing to do with what you're holding in your hand. It involves a display that will be on the screen as Casey Johnson comes and sings our next special, which has become a tradition here, our traditional graduate song here at First Baptist Elon, Friends. So as Casey comes and sings, I hope you enjoy the presentation.
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to worship together. We ask your blessings for all on our prayer list and their many needs. Today, we ask a special blessing for all of our graduates. Please guide their lives as they begin their new journeys. May they look to you for answers and leadership as they move along the path of living for you. Now, please bless our offerings and take them to use to help spread your word throughout our community, state, and the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Casey, thank you for being with us this morning. And again, let me say thank you for joining us for worship, everyone, for this special Sunday in the life of our church as we celebrate with our graduates and their families. And graduates, it feels good crossing the finish line, doesn't it? Felt good finishing up, right? Denise, yeah, amen.
Amen.
It does. It does finish. Feel good to finish. And Tristan, I know you only got a couple exams, right? Two exams. Be in prayer for Tristan over the next couple weeks. Two exams, and then he is officially done. And so we will be in our prayers. And again, it is good to celebrate with these families. However, I do want to share, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, and this is a message not just for our five graduates sitting on the front row, but this is a message for absolutely everyone here this morning, and all those that are watching via Facebook Live this morning, that none of us are finished. No one here is finished yet. You cannot hang your student robes up. And you might be thinking, well, David, I've been out of school for decades. But the fact is, we can never hang our student robes up. We can never officially say, I am done being the student. Because God has created each one of us to be a lifelong student. I am a person who loves education. I love learning. I love learning something new every single day. And I hope to challenge you this morning to do the exact same thing. A class of high school sophomores had been assigned a term paper to finish by the end of the semester. And we know how that goes. They get the assignment at the beginning of the semester, and that dreaded day is coming. Now, the day of reckoning had finally arrived for the sophomores. The papers were due to be handed in. The teacher, however, knew that there was one particular student, and that student's name was George, had not been working steadily on his paper throughout the semester. The teacher was prepared. The teacher was prepared for some sort of excuse that was coming that day. So when the teacher went to collect the papers one by one, he came to stand in front of George, and there was George with empty hands. George said to the teacher, "You see, teacher, my dog ate my paper." The teacher, who had heard every excuse in the book, gave George a hard stare of unbelief and said, "You couldn't come up with a better excuse than that? The dog ate your paper." But George persisted, saying, "No, no, no, teacher, you see, it is true. I had to force him to eat it, but he eventually ate the paper." You see, we may come up with a list of excuses in our life, but the truth is, we were each created by our Heavenly Father to be students of life. Now, we choose our different academic courses, but we were each created to be students of life. And I want to talk to you about what that means this morning, to be a lifelong learner. For many of us, the idea of being a student brings back those bad memories of homework, of tests, of pop quizzes, of bullies, of tough teachers who we still are quite sure were really out to get us. But what I'm going to talk about today represents something completely different. Every single day that God blesses us with is an opportunity to learn. As you and I travel through life, and we each travel through life, we just travel different journeys, we have the opportunity to be a student. Opportunities to learn from every moment of every day, and it's just sitting at our fingertips. Now you might say, "But David, I do basically the exact same thing every single day." Or you might say, "Well, David, I see the exact same people every single day." However, We cannot forget that every single day is crafted and created by the hands that brought forth all of creation into being. So, you want to tell me that every single day is the exact same thing? Just go outside on any given day and say to your Creator, well, God, why did you make this day the exact same as the day before? And then the wind blows. Or then the sun peeks through the clouds. Or then that random raindrop falls from the sky that wasn't being predicted. Or then the phone rings from that unexpected friend that you weren't expected to call. Or then that loud sound happens that you don't know what it was and you can't explain it, but your ears heard it. Every single day is the same, right? Those are all learning experiences. And realizing this simple truth makes every single day a classroom for you and for me. This morning, I want to share two simple principles that will hopefully turn every single day into a classroom for you. Principles that help us to be lifelong learners, true disciples of the Master of creation. When Jesus called his disciples, he called them into a lifelong discipleship, not just 3 years of discipleship, but lifelong disciples, a way of life filled with learning from the greatest of all the teachers. And the first simple principle to this is this: learn something from absolutely everyone you encounter on a daily basis. Everyone you encounter. And it may be the same person you see every single day, but learn something from them every single day. It has been well said that every man is my superior and that I may learn from him. Every one of us has a unique story to tell and a distinctive lesson to teach. And you might be thinking, I don't have anything to teach. Yes, you do. It's from the experiences that you've gone through. It's from the Creator who created you unique as you are. Be very careful about assuming that you cannot learn something from anyone. We can learn something from everyone. Now, it may not be lessons that we want to learn, but we can still learn them. I'm reminded of the story of two men who were riding a tandem bicycle, and they came to a great big steep hill. It took a great deal of struggle for these two men to complete what proved to be a very steep climb. When they got to the top of the hill, the man in front turned to the other and said, "Whoo, boy, that sure was a hard climb." The fellow in the back said, "Yes, you aren't kidding. And if I had not kept my foot on the brake all the way up, we certainly would have rolled down the hill the whole way up." The life lessons that we learn from people that are just sitting beside us. People are always asking those who have achieved great accomplishments in their field, "Well, what's your secret? How did you get to where you are? What's your secret?" We always seem to assume that those who achieve great success must know something that we do not. Well, the truth is, that may be so. But what stops us from asking them? What stops us from tapping into the knowledge that they have? And what's to say that the greatest people in this world aren't necessarily the ones that are on TV or the ones that are in the magazines or the ones that are in the books, but are the ones sitting beside you right now? There's a wealth of knowledge sitting in this room right now that you didn't even realize. Take a second. Look around. Take a second and look around and ask yourself, have I asked these geniuses, because guess what? We're all in a room of geniuses. Have I asked these geniuses that are sitting around me today about the wisdom that they hold? My guess is you haven't. I've had lots of conversations with the people in these rooms, and I've only touched the surface of the wisdom that is in this room right now. We can learn from everyone that we encounter. The trouble is that we're oftentimes afraid to ask the questions. The trouble is we're oftentimes afraid to start the conversation. What's stopping us? How often do we get so involved in our own problems, so caught up in our own point of view, that we don't even bother to find out if there are other potential ways of looking at circumstances? How many times have we been blinded by our own pride instead of asking when we could be seeking knowledge from those around us? Our first scripture passage this morning taps into that insight. It gives some insight into this principle. Proverbs 9:9. Sam, if you'll pull up the first passage this morning. One simple verse stuck in the middle of this great book of wisdom says this: instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The wisest of people are not those with all the answers. The wisest of people are those who are not afraid to ask the questions. The wisest people are the ones who are not afraid to seek out the answer. The wisest of the people are those who want to learn from absolutely everyone. This not only applies to our personal lives, but also to our faith lives. Is it possible that in other expressions of our faith, that there is truth there and that we can learn there as well? The answer is yes. Is it possible that we here at First Baptist Elon can learn from the experiences and wisdom of other members of the greater body of Christ? The answer is yes. An atheist goes to heaven and he asks for a tour. St. Peter obliges, since heaven is a boisterous place. And so St. Peter gives him a tour and he says, over here, boom, the saint, are the Catholics. And they were in a celebratory mass with various popes handing out the Eucharist to a rejoicing handful. And over here, continued the saint, shouting above the noise that was taking place in this corner, are the Baptists. And they were doing what Baptists do best, chatting over a potluck meal. And over here, whispered St. Peter, is a more exclusive denomination. They were solemnly praying. Why are we whispering? Asked the atheist. Well, said St. Peter, they think they're the only ones here. Now, my intention is not to pick on any denomination, but this familiar joke does illustrate the all too common assumption made by many Christians that they have somehow cornered the market on all truth. The Christian life is a journey of faith. It's not a destination of conceited knowledge. Never make knowledge a temple. Never arrogantly assume that you have arrived at the pinnacle of all truth. Always be a student. Always be willing to learn from the wisdom of others. Jesus Christ is the unique and total incarnation of truth. You know, we said, Gay said, Jesus is the light of the world earlier. I think she said that. Jesus is the incarnate of truth. the only way, the only life, and yet we betray His spirit of love when we build such a strong wall between us and other expression of God's grace that we are unwilling to learn from our brothers and sisters of other expressions of faith. Jesus is our master, and yet without betraying Him, we can learn from others, since all genuine truth proceeds from God and therefore is God's truth. But that's the first principle. The second principle is this: learn something from the Scriptures. One of my least favorite things to do in life is to read directions, especially when directions are unreadable. It drives me up the wall. I do not know if this is a genetic thing. Maybe it is. Maybe it's just me. Or if it's just the more difficult things are to put together, the more and more instructions and directions become more and more difficult, that I just like to look at the front of a box and say, well, that just looks this way. Let me see if I can figure out how to make it look that way. I think that is a genetic thing. Life has not come with a set of instructions. It is unfortunate. However, it has come with a guidebook that has principles that we can follow for daily living. It is one of the gifts that I gave our graduates this morning that I hope you use more than any of the other things that I gave you this morning. If you need a Bible, if you're sitting here and you need a Bible, you don't need a Bible, I gave you one. But if you need a Bible, anybody here that needs one, please see me. I've got about 20 in my office. I don't know why I have so many Bibles. It's just because I love the book. And I will give you one of my Bibles. If you need a Bible, ask for one. Be a student of the Scriptures. Even though sometimes the Bible can be a little bit intimidating and difficult to understand, it's worth diving into. A little girl returned home from Sunday school one morning, and she proudly announced that she had memorized a new Bible verse, and she wanted to repeat it for her mother. So she quoted it for her mom. She stood up proudly like she did in Sunday school, and she said, "Eat carrots for me." And the mother looked at her like, "I don't remember that Bible verse." And she thumbed through her Bible real quickly to find the carrots verse, and she couldn't find it. So she said to her little daughter again, "Can you repeat that verse for me?" And she said, "Eat carrots for me." And she looked at her again, and she said, "Oh, wow, that's great, honey." And she shooed her off to the other room, and it's like, I have no idea what she's talking about. So she quickly called the Sunday school teacher, and she asked for an explanation. And she then discovered the mysterious verse that her daughter had just recited to her. It was 1 Peter 5:7, which in the King James Version does not say, "Eat carrots for me," but instead says, "He careth for me." Lost in translation. Sometimes I think that's why we don't go to the Bible as often as we should. We get lost in translation. But our second scripture passage today, which is not 1 Peter 5:7, is Psalm 119:105, and it says this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The Scriptures are alive and breathing. Knowledge of them is more than mere facts or dates, as with most kinds of learning it is these days. Knowledge of the Bible has the power to radically and permanently change your life by changing your heart. It changes you from the inside out. American evangelist D.L. Moody once wrote, "The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. There is no greater light to our path than the Holy Scriptures. There is no greater light to your future than the Holy Scriptures." That's for those who know what they want to do. That's for those that don't know what they're going to do. That's for those who are searching for what they want to do. That's for every single path that you're on. Scripture is that light. In the pages of the Bible, God has revealed His unending love for us. As we turn the pages of the Bible, we find God making known His promises and His provisions for us. The central theme of the Bible is that God is a loving Father, full of love, slow to anger, and abundant in grace. God has fully revealed himself to us, and that is why we should open it daily. If we ever question where God is in our lives, start by opening your Bible. He's revealed himself there. German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "I ask with all my strength what God is trying to say to us through the Bible. Since I have learnt to read the Bible in this way, it becomes more marvelous to me every single day." In closing this morning, every moment of our lives are like the letters that make up the words of the pages of this book. Each day is like a paragraph on a page of a book. Weeks are like sections. Years are like chapters. And as we go through life, we move from one page to the next. We move from one chapter to the next, leaving behind the past and moving on to the next stage of our life. And along the way, we are still learning. We're always learning because we are always students. If you are a follower of Christ, you are still being transformed more and more into his image daily. And he is not done yet. We are all students of the great teacher, disciples of the master. And today I encourage you to learn something from everyone that you encounter and to learn from the scriptures. If you do those two simple things, you will be a student every single day. And the reason why we need to do this is because class is always in session. Let's pray. Father, you have made us students. May we take the challenge to continually learn every single day from the people that we encounter to your word that provides us the guidebook to our lives. Father, I give you thanks for our graduates. As their future unfolds in front of them, Father, may you provide the light for them. We lift them to you this day and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing, maybe today you've realized for the first time you're called to be a student, and part of that student is following the master for the very first time. I'll be down front if you want to make that decision today, or maybe today you want to recommit yourself to this body of believers here at First Baptist, or maybe to God once and for all, or again for the 10th or 12th time. The altar is always open. Whatever decision you need to make today, don't put it off. Be a student today. I'll be down front. Come as we sing. As we go out today, our choir is going to sing our benediction, and I encourage you to remain standing as our graduates recess out. Then I welcome you to talk to them as you leave this morning, congratulate them individually, teach them a little lesson because they are students, and maybe you'll learn something from them as well. As we leave in peace in just a moment, as our choir sings, as we recess out, I hope you'll go in peace this day.
Thank you.